you to pray with me this morning as we prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord. Father, I just come to you now, Lord, with a reverent heart, Lord, and respectful heart of your word. Lord, and I acknowledge that in your word is truth, in your word is wisdom and instruction in life and godliness. Lord, in your word we see principles that will change eternity. And Father, I just pray that today that our hearts would be open and receptive to the word of the Lord. And Father, that this word today would be received on good soil, that we would be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Father, I ask you, Lord, for fruit that will remain in Jesus' name. Amen. Pass on the blessing. You know, being a father is a wonderful thing. It's also a fearful thing. It is both a great joy and a tremendous responsibility. There are three fathers who were talking one day, and the first father said, "Well, you know, I believe that life begins at conception." And the second father said, "No, life doesn't begin until birth." And the third father said, "Y'all are both wrong. Life begins when the children move out from home and the dog dies." So there's one take on what it's like to be a father. We all can kind of understand that, and yet at the same time, we have those feelings of wanting to hang on to our children, and we enjoy them and love them so much. In his book about fatherhood, Bill Cosby had one chapter titled "A Baffling Question." And he wrote this: "So you've decided to have children. You've decided to give up quiet evenings at home when you listen to good music and read good books. You've decided to give up lazy weekends when you just held each other in your arms and assured each other of your love. You've decided to give up candlelight dinners where you could finish complete sentences. You've decided to change all your couches into trampolines. You've decided to give up your pursuit of the reproduction of fine art and start coping with the pursuit of the reproduction of yourself. Why? That's the baffling question. Poets tell us that one of the reasons that we want to have children is to become immortal. Yes, I must confess that I asked God for a son to carry on my family name, and God did exactly what I asked him to do, but now there are many times when I ask my son not to reveal his identity. I beg him, make up a name. Tell them anything, but don't tell them that you belong to me, whatever you do. Immortality? Now that I'm the father of five, my only hope is that I will live long enough to see all five of them leave home." And we all can understand some of those sentiments, but of course, he's really joking. Now, what makes it funny is there's a little bit of truth in it. But on the flip side of that, oh, what a wonderful blessing to be a father. What a wonderful blessing to see those children that came from you, your own offspring, to see them grow up. And especially if you raised them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to see them grow up and have the blessing of God upon their life. It is an amazing, amazing thing. You know, it's rather amazing how that we can see our good qualities of ourselves and our wife and our children, and then also at times we get to see the bad characteristics as well. But being a father comes with this tremendous responsibility, because scripturally we have been called to lead our family spiritually. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You know, I read recently there's a big difference between raising children and training children. It's work to train children. It takes effort. It has to be very deliberate and on purpose to train children. But that's our responsibility, fathers. It says, "Fathers, train them up. Train them up in the ways of the Lord." Now, last week we talked about breaking a pattern of generational curses, and I believe that there's a very powerful scriptural principle that every person needs to use in their life to break those patterns, negative patterns that might have been passed down in your family. And if you weren't here last week, I just encourage you to get that CD because I believe it is something that every person needs to be aware of and so that they can use that in their prayer life to break old patterns and habits, and especially for moms and dads so that you don't pass down that same pattern, a negative pattern, to your children, but break that pattern. This morning, I believe, is equally important that we pass down a blessing to our children, that we pass on the blessing of God to our children. Proverbs 13 and 22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." Now, certainly, in the context of the rest of this verse, I think that first part, when he says he leaves an inheritance for his children's children, he is talking about material things. He says wealth. But I also believe that it's much more than just mere money. You know, if a man leaves a large sum to his children, if there's not some blessing of the Lord that's passed down with it, it doesn't usually make it to the grandchildren. No, I think that there is an inheritance here that's passed down that is more than just material wealth. But there is a spiritual wealth as well that's been passed down, a heritage of faith that's being passed down to those children. That blessing is passed down from generation to generation. Now, God blessed Abraham, and Abraham passed that blessing on to his son Isaac. Isaac had the same blessing on his life that Abraham did. And then Isaac passed that blessing on to Jacob. Jacob had the same blessings of God upon his life. And then Jacob passed that blessing on to his sons and even to his grandsons. And Joseph passed that blessing on to his son. And on and on and on through the scripture, we see that the blessing of God upon a life is passed down generationally. Now, every person still will stand before God and give an account. We all have a free will. And just as in the case of Isaac, where he blessed Jacob, and he also blessed Esau, but Esau did not serve God. Esau did not live for God, and Jacob did. But I want you to see that that blessing can be passed down. Your kids will ultimately still have a choice to make to serve God. But just as we can pass down negative traits and negative patterns and lifestyles and habits to our children, we can also pass down the blessings of the Lord. We can pass down to them a godly lifestyle of serving the Lord and really living for God. You know, those blessings that were on Abraham are available to us. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Now I want you to hear this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us. What is the blessing of Abraham? Well, there are a lot of blessings that are spoken about Abraham, but let me just tell you, he blessed him in every way. In every way. He blessed his health. He blessed his family. He blessed him with wealth. He blessed him in every way. You say, "Well, how can you say that, Pastor?" Because I see it in the Word of God in Genesis 24 and 1. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. The Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. That's what it says. And we just read in Galatians that the same blessings that were available to Abraham are available to those who are in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, the curse has been removed, and we have become blessed with Abraham. Genesis 12, 3, the Lord told Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you." And then again, in Galatians chapter 3, but this time verses 6 through 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe the children who believe are the children of Abraham. Let's get that again. Those who believe are the children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You see, if we really believe God, if we believe the word of the Lord, if we believe the promises of God's word, if you believe the blessings are for you, let me tell you, then you are the children of Abraham and the same blessings belong to you. We're blessed. Amen. Now, we have a responsibility to pass on the blessings of God to our children. How can we do that? Well, Proverbs 20 and 7 says that the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. In the New King James, it puts it this way. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You see, when a man really serves God, lives with character and integrity in his life, a righteous man, then that man's children are going to be blessed after him. You leave a blessing for your children. You raise them up in the blessing of the Lord. Pass on the blessing. How? By living according to God's word. Psalms 112, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Now that man is blessed. He fears the Lord. He finds great delight in the Lord's commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And there it is again. The man that fears the Lord and delights in God's commands, his children are going to be blessed after him. He passes on a blessing to his children because of his righteous life, living in the fear of the Lord, and obeying the commands of the Lord. We pass on a blessing to our children. Now, there is a principle given so clearly in Scripture that it is most often forgotten completely, and the rest of the time it seems to be neglected. And I believe that this is a word to us today as believers, but especially to fathers, that this principle needs to be carried out. And that is to speak a verbal blessing to and over your children. Amen. It is a pattern of Scripture and it is to be carried out. It is something that was done in that culture over and over and over again. And in our culture, rather, the pattern is to use sarcasm and to criticize and to berate and belittle and speak disparaging remarks to our loved ones. I'm telling you, we need to go back to a biblical pattern if we want to pass a blessing on to the next generation, to our children, and even now, to pass a blessing on to one another. We need to learn to speak the verbal blessing. Now that may sound really strange to you, but I believe that this is going to become clear to you in the Scripture this morning, and something that we can do and we need to do in obedience to God's word. The Bible says bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. It's talking about what comes out of your mouth. It says bless and do not curse. Now when the Bible says do not curse, it's not talking about just don't use profanity. It is saying that you don't speak ill, that you don't make those cutting remarks, that you don't put somebody down. You see, that's cursing them. Saying bad things about them and saying bad things about their future. That's cursing someone. To bless is to speak well of someone. It's to say good things about them and speak well of their future. That's what it means to bless. The Scripture makes it so plain and clear that with our mouths, we can either bless or curse. And in James chapter 3, he says that out of the same mouth, we should not have blessing and cursing. See, we need to be careful that we don't just say good things when we're feeling spiritual. No, we need to bless all the time. You can't have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. No one's words have more influence in the life of a child than their parents. And as wonderful as mother's words can be, I believe that when a faith-filled father speaks words of blessing over his child, nothing can be more powerful than those words. Have you ever heard, well, you might have to eat your words? Do you know that comes from the principle of Scripture? The Bible tells us that we will eat the fruit of our words. Proverbs 18 and 21, there's death and life in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Our words are like seeds that produce fruit. That is never more true than the words that we speak to and about and over our children. We are sowing seeds into them that we will eat the fruit of. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, it tells us we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us so we can turn the whole animal. He also says, or take ships as an example. Though they're so large, they're driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And let me just stop here and just say, you know, he's talking about the course of your life. And by the words of your mouth, you can change the course of your life. Now, I'm just, you know, that's one of those principles that people have a hard time swallowing. Oh, it's just words. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, yes, it does. The words that continually come out of your mouth. You see, you can say something flippant just offhand, and certainly everything that you say doesn't happen. But I'm telling you, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth will speak. And those words that keep coming out of your mouth, the Bible says very plainly that it is like the rudder of a ship. You are steering your life. It is like a bit in a horse's mouth. By the words of your mouth, you will direct the course of your life. And let me tell you, as parents, you do that to a great degree in your children. The things that you speak over them and what you say to them will turn their life, especially when they're young. It will set a course and a pattern for their life. Your words are very powerful. In fact, it goes on, it says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. Now it's talking about how that just from one little small spark, a great forest fire can be lit. And you see the principle, he's talking about the words of your mouth. You can say one sentence to a child that you forget in a few moments. And that child never forgets. You know, I consider myself to be a forgiving person. And in obedience to God, I refuse to hold a grudge. I refuse to hold bitterness and to not forgive. But nonetheless, I can remember things that were said to me 25 years ago. I can recall conversations where hurtful things were spoken to me. I'd like to forget completely. I forgive. I choose to forgive. And as much as possible, I should choose not to think on those things and to put them out of mind. But the recollection of them is still there. And I tell you, parents, what power we have to speak into the hearts and lives of our children and do such damage if we don't use that power wisely. We have to consider the kind of power that we have, just that little spark that can turn into a great fire. But our words can build up or tear down. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, we want to build up. We want to benefit them. Why would anybody want to tear their child down? Now, hear me. Children need to be disciplined. And no discipline, the Bible tells us, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. They need to be disciplined. Children need to be corrected. We'll put it in spiritual terms. Sometimes they need to be rebuked. Right? Children need to be instructed. But our goal ultimately should always be constructive. To build them up. To see them become all that God wants them to be. Not to tear them down and belittle them, but to build them up. Even in discipline and correction, our goal is to lovingly build them up to be what God wants them to be, not to tear down. The principle of blessing, speaking a blessing over someone, is found all throughout the Scripture. The word bless in some form is found at least 467 times in the Bible, 108 times in the New Testament. And what does that word mean? What does it mean to bless? And it's one of those words that it's certainly used in a lot of different ways. But the two Greek words, basically, one of them means to speak well of. It is the word eulogen, from where we get the word eulogize. And at funerals, we speak well of someone. But to bless someone is to speak well of them, to say good things about them. It is to verbally point out their good qualities, to speak well of them. The other word means having the favor of. In other words, to bless them, we speak of them with favor. We're saying good things about them. Good things are going to happen to them. They're going to have favor. We're blessing them. That means that we are speaking favor on their life. To bless is the opposite of curse. I think I did it this way last week, but we need to keep it simple. When you bless, you're saying something good about somebody. When you curse, you're saying something bad about them, all right? Blessing began in the garden. You realize that after the Lord made each thing, the Scripture says, and He blessed it. And He blessed them. You know what else He said? He said, and it was good. You see, He spoke well of it, and He put His favor on it as He created each thing. And we see this principle of blessing all through the Scripture from cover to cover. We see the principle of blessing being spoken throughout the Bible. There's a powerful principle here of speaking a blessing over others. Jesus tells us, bless and do not curse. Even our enemies, we are not to curse, but we are to bless. Jesus lived this and showed us this, and He is our example. And you know, one of the things that Jesus did is that He took up little children in His arms and He placed His hands on them and He blessed them. Now, we do that on occasion when we dedicate a child, but I think it needs to be much more than just on occasion or a one-time event. I think it needs to be a regular practice that we bless little children, that we put our hands on them and we bless them. We speak good things over their life. And by the way, in our nursery, we endeavor to do that. That's part of our ministry as a nursery. They don't just change diapers, but they bless those children and pray for them. You know, it's amazing how that you can read the Scripture and study the Scripture and teach and preach the Scripture for years and years and years and yet not see certain things, and then one day you see something new. It's absolutely amazing to me how many times that happens. It's every week for me. I've always said that the last thing that Jesus did before He ascended, before He left this earth in a physical body, the last thing that He did was He gave us the Great Commission. I don't know how I missed this so many times. Luke chapter 24, verse 50 through 53. Here it is. when he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The last thing that Jesus did here on earth was he blessed his people. He blessed the disciples. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now get this. While he is ascending, while he is going up into heaven, the Bible says that he was blessing them. He was speaking well of them, speaking good about them, and speaking favor on them. Well, it must have worked, church. We're still here. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is still going on. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You see, but he blessed his people. The very last thing he did as he was leaving, even as he's ascending. Well, I'm just impressed by that because I've never seen it before. I have read that so many times, but it just didn't, you know, I just didn't really get it. But he was blessing us, blessing the church. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. You know, the reason I quote Numbers 6, 24 through 27 over our congregation almost every Sunday is because it is a scriptural blessing for the people of God. It is a priestly blessing that is to be spoken over God's people. And that doesn't mean that it needs to be a ritual, something that we just do out of habit or just to go through the motions. Certainly, it's meaningless if it's not spoken in faith. But I want to read to you that where that's found in Numbers chapter 6, and read the two preceding verses. Begin with verse 22. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." You see, the end result of this priestly blessing is that God's name would be on them and he would bless them. There's power in the blessing. It is not just some ritual, some powerless ritual or religious tradition. Certainly it could become that. But if we speak it in faith, there's power in the blessing that God honors. Now there's many examples throughout the scripture of a blessing being spoken. One of those is in Genesis 24, where Abraham has sent his servant to his own people to get a wife for his son Isaac. And this servant finds a beautiful young lady named Rebekah. And Rebekah's family agrees to send her to be Isaac's wife. But before she leaves, Rebekah's brothers speak a blessing over her. "Our sister," it's verse 60, "our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies." They spoke a blessing over her. You see, it was such a part of that culture, it was a natural thing to do, and especially at important times of life, to speak a blessing. And church, we need to see that there is a powerful principle of Scripture here that we're missing out on. And we need to apply and we need to use this to pass on the blessing of God to our children and to our grandchildren, to our other loved ones and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Genesis chapter 27, it tells us the story about how that Isaac blessed Jacob. And of course, there's another story there in and of itself of how that Jacob deceived Isaac and got Esau's blessing. But in that deception, it shows us the very power of the blessing, because later when Esau comes and he wants the blessing, Isaac said, "I've already given it to Jacob and it will be as I've said." Because you see, those were not just words, they were faith-filled blessing. And when he spoke those words, there was a power that went with those words. And you see, church, there's a power. When we bless our children, our grandchildren, there's a power that's released when we do that in faith. In Genesis 31, it tells us that Laban blessed his children and grandchildren. Now, most of you know the story, and I'm just kind of buzzing through these because I just want to make the point here of how that this was a scriptural pattern. But Jacob goes and he lives with Uncle Laban. He marries Rachel and Leah. And there comes a day when he leaves and Laban comes chasing after them. And a lot happens there. But this is what it says. And the next morning, verse 55, early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. He kissed them, and then he blessed them. He spoke over them. He spoke well of them. He spoke good about them. And he spoke favor on them, that things would go well for them, that the blessing of God would be on them. You see, he blessed them. Genesis chapter 48, Jacob blesses his grandchildren. In Genesis 49, Jacob blesses his 12 sons. And it tells us this in verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. You see, a parent, more than anybody else, knows what blessing is appropriate to each child. He didn't just speak a generic blessing over all of them. And, you know, certainly we can do that. Lord bless everybody. But he spoke a blessing that was appropriate, that applied to that particular life. A blessing that fit who they were and what God wanted them to become. The Father's blessing always had such tremendous power. It determined greatly the entire life of that child. And you see that in Scripture where these faith-filled blessings were spoken, then many times those lives were lived out in accordance with that blessing that was spoken. Very, very powerful. Now I want us to look at Genesis chapter 27, where Isaac blesses Jacob. There are four principles that are given to us here that are seen in almost every blessing in one way or another, but this particular passage has all four of them and makes it pretty simple and pretty clear. Just read to you from Genesis 27, beginning with verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." There's the blessing that he spoke to Jacob. And that blessing came to pass. Now you notice in verse 22, the first ingredient of the blessing is a meaningful touch. He said, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." Almost always when the blessing is given, there's some kind of a meaningful touch, whether it's a kiss, whether it's a hug, an embrace, laying on of hands or joining hands, there's some kind of a meaningful touch. There's a transference of that blessing, that you pass on that blessing by a meaningful touch. Now, don't make light of the principles of Scripture. Do not think that this is unimportant. I'm telling you this morning, part of how we can pass on the blessing of God onto our children, it is by speaking the blessing. And the scriptural pattern here is that there's a meaningful touch. I realize that there's a lot of people that think that that's foolishness and doesn't mean anything, but you see it all through Scripture that there is something that happens through the laying on of hands. There's something that happens through a hug or a kiss, some type of a meaningful touch. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where it tells us that Jesus took up the little children in his arms. It says he took them up in his arms. And the next phrase is not, and he blessed them. He took them up in his arms and he put his hands on them. He's already got them in his arms, but then the scripture says, and he put his hands on them and blessed them. Why? Because there's something about that meaningful touch. When you put purposely, deliberately, you're putting your hands on them for the purpose to bless. You grandparents, sometime when you're watching TV with that little grandchild, it comes time to turn the TV off and to pull them up on your lap and you put your hand on them and you speak a blessing over them. You put that little one in bed at night and you speak a blessing over them and you lay your hands on them. You put your hand on that little head and you speak the blessing of God. There's something about that meaningful touch. I tell you, children need that. Teenagers need that. We all need that. We all need that meaningful touch. Hug them. Lay your hands on them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Something. But touch them in a meaningful way. It's part of the blessing. The second ingredient was that there was a spoken message of love and affirmation. Isaac says about Jacob, he says, "You smell like a field that's been blessed by the Lord." Now, we might not think of that as much of an expression of love or affirmation, but it was to Isaac. "You smell like a field blessed of the Lord." Let me tell you, we need to affirm our children. We need to love them. We need to express that to them in words. And we need to do that in a blessing that we speak over them. Too often, parents today criticize and remind their children over and over again of their faults and their mistakes. On and on and on, they tell them all the things that they do wrong and seldom tell them what they do right and affirm them. Dan Benson, in his book, The Total Man, says that for every positive word that most dads say to their children, they say 10 negative ones. They're really good at words like don't, you can't, stop that, no. But they're not very good at positive words. Benson suggests that we could change the whole personality of our relationship with our children if we learn to be positive, influence them in a positive way. You see, children need words of encouragement. They get enough discouragement from the world. The Bible says we're to encourage one another daily. And that word, that blessing, should be words of affirmation of love to encourage them. They need a word of appreciation. You know, in almost all of Paul's epistles, he tells those churches that he's writing to, he says, "I thank God for you." Now, if you've read much of the New Testament, you know that there were all kinds of problems with those churches. Some of them were a mess. But he says, "I thank God for you." And you might see all the faults and the problems with your child, but you need to see what's good and thank God for them. You need to affirm them by a word of appreciation. They need a word of approval from you. You know, every small child looks to mom and dad for approval. They look to you to see if they're done right or if they've done good. They want your approval. And though we may not approve of the things that they do sometimes, they need to be affirmed by us. They need to know that we love them and that we're proud of them. And they need a word of grace. You know, we all make mistakes. But we also need to know that we can still be something. What happens to so many kids is they make mistakes. There's a few failures along the way in their teen years. They did something wrong and something happened when they were a young adult. And they feel like there's a curse on them that they can never be. But I tell you, the truth is that we need to tell them of God's grace, that it's never too late for God, that He'll always make a way, and that by His grace, they can still be what God wants them to be. See, with that word of affirmation and love, it needs to be a word of grace as well. The third ingredient is that those words of blessing were spoken in faith and prayer. I'm not saying that the whole entire blessing is necessarily a prayer, but I am saying that it is certainly invoking the power of God. That it's not just a man speaking words, but it's speaking words in faith, in prayer, that God will honor that blessing. And you see this, again, illustrated by Isaac as he says, "May God give you of heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine." He is praying. He is speaking words of faith that God is going to bless his son. Not just words, but faith-filled words. Pray a blessing over your children for their success, for their protection, for their health. There's power in that blessing for them to be close to God. See, speak that over them, that you're going to be close to God. You're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to walk with the Lord all the days of your life. You speak that over your children by faith. Amen. Pray for them to obey God and to live in the blessings of God. Pass that blessing on to them. The fourth ingredient was giving them a hope and a future. In every blessing that I've seen where someone was speaking a blessing to someone else, it had something to do with the future. It is speaking something about their future that it's going to be good. That's a blessing. Now, if you're speaking something about their future that it's going to be bad, that's a curse. But speaking something about their future that it's going to be good, that is a blessing. Many nations serve you. Peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Now I want to tell you that as he spoke those faith-filled words, it came to pass as he said. You see, Isaac was helping his son to see that God had a plan for his life, a hope and a future, and that that plan was good. And he spoke that over him. Don't take it for granted, but speak it over that child and bless them. Speak it over your grandchildren. Speak it over your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen, if Rebecca's brothers could speak a blessing over her, then certainly we can speak a blessing over our brothers and sisters in the Lord. They also, when they spoke to Rebecca, they said, "May you increase to thousands and thousands." You see, they were speaking about her future, speaking about a hope that she was going to have many, many, many descendants. "May your enemies," how's that go? Your enemies, the gates of your enemies. Anybody got that? Well, this is what it meant, that she was going to have victory over her enemies. In her future, she was going to have victory over all her enemies. But you see, that blessing always has to do with something about the future good, to give a hope and a future to that one that you're speaking the blessing over. And I tell you, church, there's great power in that this morning if we'll just obey the word of the Lord, follow that scriptural pattern, just as those patriarchs passed down the blessing from one generation to the next. We can pass it down. In fact, we see that in many godly families today. You see the blessing of God being passed down from generation to generation. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. And be deliberate about it. Now, let me tell you and give you an example of what happens when we don't. There was a man who's rather famous or infamous, depending on how you want to look at it. He's being interviewed. And they asked him about his parents, what his parents might have been like. And he said that he had been raised in a Puritan home of religious traditions, that his parents believed in God, but they didn't believe in a God of grace and love and compassion, and theirs was a rigid religion. He said that they never told him they loved him. They never showed affection to him. His mother never kissed him because she was afraid of germs. He went on to indicate that his dad was remote and not very engaging, and though he worked hard and provided a good home, that there was no meaningful interaction with his dad. He recalled how his parents had given him a blanket when he was a child, and that blanket became a security blanket for him. He painted a vivid picture of a little boy going to bed at night hugging a blanket, the only thing he had to hug. He went on to recount that as a boy, he always wanted a puppy, but again, because his parents didn't want germs in the house, they said that they could never have a dog. But later, when he developed a tumor in his ear, his parents gave in and got him a dog. Only 5 days later, the puppy became very sick. The little boy took his security blanket and he wrapped that dog in the security blanket to make him feel better, but the dog died. And so they buried the dog and they burned the blanket. And that little boy lost the two things in the world that he found security and love from. Now it's a rather sad story portrayed that way. Might tug on your heart a little bit until I tell you who it is. Hugh Hefner. The founder of Playboy. Now here's the last thing that he said in that interview. He said, matter-of-factly, "I guess I'm still just that little boy trying to find love." Now let me tell you what absolutely would have kept this man from choosing the path of life that he chose. If his parents would have loved him and shown affection to him, put their hands on him and prayed over him and spoken a blessing over him of his hope and his future, I'm telling you, he wouldn't have turned out like he did. There is great power in the blessing. And that is just a gross example of when maybe religious parents, see, his parents were religious, but they didn't pass on a blessing. Moms and dads, I just challenge you today, bless your children. Speak blessing over them. Grandparents, bless those little grandkids. Every time, every opportunity you get, speak a little blessing over them. But most of all, in those critical times of life, oh, how we need to speak a blessing over someone. Now, this morning, I don't know of any other way, any better way, for me to illustrate this to you than for me to bless one of my own children. And this morning, in the first service, I blessed Jonathan. And so in this service, I'm going to bless Leslie. So, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have a total commitment to Jesus that I see every day. It is without reservation. And for that, I am most proud of you. You are a songbird to sing the Lord's praise. You have a heart like David to worship. Proud of you. May the Lord continue to give you freedom as you play and sing, but not only that, to speak through you. God wants to speak through you. And I believe that greater freedom is coming as the Lord just anoints you, uses you mightily to speak faith-filled words over God's people and to encourage God's people and lead God's people into worship. I pray the Lord provide for you, take care of you, watch over you, protect you every day of your life, to keep you and watch over you in all your coming and going. And in your future, as you humble yourself before the Lord, He will continue to promote you. He will continue to exalt you and to use you mightily. And in the right time, in the right way, in the right man, God will bring a man into your life. And the Lord is going to give you the desires of your heart as you continue to delight yourself in Him. Father, I just thank You for that in Leslie's life. I thank You, Lord, for the blessing that she is to me, to our family, to this congregation. And Lord, I just pray that You use her for Your honor and glory. Lord, she's Yours. She's Your vessel, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, for Your blessing upon her. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I just wanted to illustrate to you a little bit, and I wanted to bless her anyway. So you just had to sit through that, all right? Now, you might want to sometimes prayerfully consider what you would bless your child, what you would say to your child, and sometimes you might just be with them or with your grandchild or some little child, neighborhood child that's at your house. And all of a sudden, the Lord just gives you something and you speak over that child a blessing. But there's power in that blessing. You see it all through Scripture. You see, this is not some crazy idea the preacher came up with. You see it all through Scripture. And you see Jesus picking up the little children and He placed His hands on them and He blessed them. And Jesus, as He's going up into heaven, He's blessing His people. You see, there's power in that spoken word, that verbal blessing. Church, we need to use that power. Not flippantly or lightly, not just out of a religious tradition, but because it is a principle that's given to us in Scripture, we need to do it in faith and expecting that God will still honor, just as He honored the faith of the patriarchs, He'll honor our faith. The same blessings that were on Abraham, those same blessings are available to us. And one of those blessings is, He said, I'm going to do this for you and your descendants. That blessing is for me as well, that God is going to bless my children, that I can pass on the blessing to them. And I challenge you, fathers, don't just let the moms be the one. Stand up. And you be the one to bless those children. I know that in this world, in this culture, it is a very difficult time to be a father. Fathers are made the buffoon. Fathers are made out to be the ones that are irresponsible and don't know what's going on. But listen, that's not the way the Lord views it. He has called you to be the head of your home. And certainly a mother, a grandmother can speak a blessing over a child. But in almost every example in Scripture, it was that father speaking that blessing. And so dads, I challenge you. It may be uncomfortable at first. I tell you, the younger you start, the easier it'll be. Start when they're little bitty. Amen. And when there comes that time of life where you're child is going to move and go to another part of the country or maybe another part of the world, God will give you a blessing to speak over them that will affect them for all eternity. When it comes the time for you to walk that little girl down the aisle, you'll have a word of blessing for her. Bless them. Bless them. When you get ready to leave this life, God will give you a word of blessing for your loved ones. Amen. I believe that, church. I believe that's available to us, and I believe God honors that in Scripture and in our lives as well, if we'll use that principle. Stand with me, and as we pray this morning,